This morning, I want us to turn to a passage other than 1 Thessalonians. That's in Luke chapter 10. Over the course of this week, the Lord has been burdening me with an area that we all need within our church to focus upon. This is a message that talks about what we read in the verse this morning in Psalm 27:4, which says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." One thing, the psalmist says, that he has desired of the Lord, and that is what he is going to seek after. The title of the message, as you can see on your message guide, is "One Thing is Needful as Well." I don't know about you, but as the years go by, it seems like things distract us from the things that are most important. Especially when we get closer to the end of the year, we get closer to Christmas, we've already had our Thanksgiving holiday, and I enjoyed that immensely, enjoyed being with family, enjoyed being with friends, enjoyed the food, loved that, but it seems like things are distracting us from what really matters in life. Life is busy, we all know that, we would all agree with that. We're all experiencing busy times and busy seasons, especially during Christmas. It seems like things are trying to take us away from things that are even more important. And yet, we need to come back to the Word of God and discover that one thing that we need to desire, that one thing that is needful, the one thing that we ought to seek after more than anything else in this world. And as we come together as a church, as Grace Baptist Church, I know we have some guests here this morning. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still part of the Church of Jesus Christ. So this is addressed to all of us that are here today that would say that we know Christ as our Savior. We are part of the Church of Jesus Christ because we are one in Him. We are one through the blood of Christ. What is distracting you from the one thing that is needful in your life as a Christian today and this morning? What is it? We're all busy, aren't we? Seems like we get busier and busier and busier as the weeks and the years and the decades roll on. But what is the most important thing in your life? When we come to Luke chapter 10, Jesus teaches us what that one thing that is needful is. And I'd like to read verses 38 through 42. This passage has meant a lot to me, especially as I am busy even in the service of the Lord. So often we can even get busy, not just with things at work or things at home or things that pertain to life, but sometimes we can even get so busy even in the work of the Lord that we forget the one thing that is needful. Last Sunday we looked at the importance of serving with our soul. And this gets to that point where we cannot serve with our soul until we are focusing on the one thing that is important. Otherwise it's just serving, but not with our soul. It's not a soul service. And that's why I think this is an important principle that we need to look at and be challenged with today. And we find in verse 38 that it came to pass, as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And of course, we know that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were all good friends of the Lord Jesus back then. They followed Him, they loved Him, and He loved them. What a close relationship this family had with a Savior. And so here we have Jesus going into the village, and there was Martha and Mary. And these two ladies were there to greet Jesus and to fellowship with Him and to be a blessing to Him. It says in verse 39 that she had a sister again called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha, in verse 40, was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister hath left me alone to serve you? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, in a tender voice, I'm sure, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Here in verse 38, we find a journey that Christ and His disciples took. This was after Jesus taught about the lesson from the Good Samaritan. And if you remember, the whole point of that was teaching that everyone is our neighbor, that everyone we ought to love and to desire what's best for that person. And that love is always going to promote what is best. Not too long ago, I read an article that a few Muslims, actually several hundred Muslims, got together and wanted to find some common ground with Christians so that we can start to have some peace and order in this world. And as I was reading this, it was kind of disturbing because they were trying to focus on something that we have in common with them. Their focus was on the fact that we all love God and that we all should love each other. That was a little disturbing because we realized that the God that we serve is not the same God that the Muslims serve. But what's even more disturbing is that there was a group of Christians that responded to these Muslims and said, okay, you're right. This is what we have in common. We love God and we love one another. And now that we have this in common, we can promote peace and harmony with each other. And as I read this and as I was concerning this, I was looking at this, a believer who truly loves his neighbor will always tell him the truth. That's what happens when we love someone. We want what is best for them. The greatest Christian response to the Muslims that are looking for something that is common ground, is that we share with them the truth. That Jesus Christ is the Savior. That Jesus Christ is the one that you will worship. If I'm not willing to share with them the truth, it's evidence that I really don't love them the way Christ loved me and gave Himself for me and shared the truth about me. So it is when we see concerning that one needful thing. Jesus says, not only are you to love your neighbor as yourself and desire to give yourself to them, but then you come to this one point, this one needful thing, the seed from which all the other fruits will come from, and that is coming before the Lord and spending time with Him. Here in verse 38, after the lesson on the Good Samaritan, Jesus and His disciples have a deliberate journey with a specific destination. It says here in verse 38 that they went to a certain village and unto a certain woman. Jesus and His disciples did not come by mistake, but had a purpose and a reason to come. Why? Because there was an opportunity. I believe the opportunity was so Jesus Christ could show His love for His friends. Jesus came to have fellowship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and to love them and to teach them. There's also an opportunity for their friends, for His friends to show love to Him. And that is what we see with Martha. Hearing that Jesus was coming, she was going to gather everything together so that He would have a comfortable stay, and Mary as well, I'm sure. But this was also an opportunity for Jesus to teach a very important lesson. Not just to them, but to us as well. The Bible says very clearly that these are written for us that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It also teaches us what is important about this relationship that we have with Christ. And the lesson that I believe the Lord is teaching Mary and Martha and us is found in verse 42. When He says, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. No matter how busy life gets, no matter how difficult your trials seem to be, no matter how sick you become, no matter how young you are or no matter how old you are, no matter where you work or whether you're retired or not, no matter what situation you find in your life as a child of God, Jesus says there is only one thing that is needful in your life. What is that one thing? That's what I want us to uncover and discover this morning as we look in these verses. But just like as it was no accident for Christ and His disciples to enter into that certain village, it was no accident for Jesus to go and meet that certain woman, Martha. It is by no accident that you are here today. There is a reason why God has brought you here and to this place and to hear from His Word and to listen to this important lesson. It's because we all need it. We all need it. How many of us are so distracted by other things that coming to church seems to be more of an interruption in our daily walk or our life? We need to have it completely the opposite way around. The other things that distract us ought to be below our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one needful thing that we need to get into our minds and into our hearts and keep as our number one priority. And let nothing distract us from that number one thing that is needful. We are all distracted. But Jesus says, cast away those distractions and learn and listen to me right now. What is this one thing that is needful? There's a few points I think that the Lord is trying to address when we look in these verses. And I want to address these in questions. There's three questions I want us to consider. When we come to our life as Christians, what is that one thing that is needful? First of all, the first question, is it welcoming enthusiastically the Lord like Martha did in these verses? Is it enthusiastically welcoming the Lord like Martha did? In verse 38, again, it says, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, this may have been a surprise visit to Martha. If you would imagine, Jesus came to the door and Martha was surprised at his coming and would have been excited to see him because she loved him and knew that he loved her. I'm sure it could have been a surprise visit. We've all had surprise visitors from time to time. A couple weeks ago, I took some young people down to Bob Jones University to visit the school. And whenever I go down there, I try to visit my aunt and uncle. And they were such an encouragement to me when I was down there. But it was so busy during this 2 days that we were down there that I really didn't get a chance to go visit them. But while we were sitting in there was a Shakespearean play, and I was there with the ladies, and my daughter was with me. I thought, I wonder if my aunt and uncle would be here. And so I looked around and I found them. They usually sat in a certain place in this particular auditorium, and I saw them. They were there. So I go up to them and I say, excuse me, Mr. and Mrs. Elmer. And they turned and they looked at me and they were shocked to see me. Literally, shocked and surprised. And the smiles that came to their faces, and I praise the Lord that they were smiles, after all the things I put them through when I was down there. But I praise the Lord it was smiles. But it was an enjoyable reunion, even though it was for just about 5 or 6 minutes. And then we had to go our way. It was an enjoyable thing. And I'm sure that if this was a surprise visit that Jesus came to see Martha, Martha would have been excited as well with a smile on her face. But it could have also been an anticipated visit. She could have anticipated. She could have known that Jesus was coming. And imagine what she would have been doing. She would have been preparing everything to have a good stay for Jesus. Maybe a special guest room prepared for the special guest. We don't know whether it was surprised or whether it was anticipated, but we do know that Martha, as it says here, readily received him into her house. Received him into her house. That word received, we've looked at this word in a few other passages in the Bible recently, and that means to literally welcome with open arms. As if you had someone that you hadn't seen for a long time and they were good friends and you loved them and you couldn't wait to see them and embrace them. That's what that word is. That's what Mary and Martha did. They received and embraced them, saying, this house is your house. Welcome. She welcomed him with open arms. But was that the one thing that was needful for Martha to do? Of course, we know this was a pleasing welcome. It was a welcome with great joy. With great delight, what joy it must have caused in the life of Martha, what joy Jesus must have experienced to see a lady that was so eager to have him there. It was a pleasing welcome, I'm sure. It was a proper welcome. It was only fitting and proper for Martha to welcome Jesus in this way. It was a practical welcome because after his arrival, Martha immediately set out to serve him. In verse 40, we see this. As soon as Jesus entered into that house and she received him, Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She tried to make everything exactly the way it needed to be for Jesus. She probably had to arrange where he would sleep, what he would eat, what he would do while he was there. She wanted to meet any practical need that Jesus would have. So it was a very practical welcome, but it was also very polite. She was considerate. She was thoughtful. She was the perfect hostess. She received Jesus with an enthusiasm that we all should receive Jesus. But is this enthusiastic welcome of the Lord the one thing that was needful? It was important. It was pleasing. It was proper. It was polite. But Jesus very clearly teaches that that was not the one thing that was needful. What is that one thing? It is not your enthusiasm in serving Christ. We need to be enthusiastic. We need to be passionate and serving with our heart and serving with our soul. But without that one thing that is needful, that enthusiasm will burn out very quickly. We looked at that last week when we saw how the Apostle Paul in Thessalonians said that he was serving day and night. When he mentioned to the Corinthians, he said, "I will gladly spend and be spent for you." It's very easy to burn out in serving others if the foundation has not been laid. And Jesus is not addressing and saying the enthusiasm is what you need. He's saying that there is a core, there is a foundation, there is something that needs to be in place before you can serve with enthusiasm and vigor and from your soul. Martha was a very powerful servant, but she did not realize that there was something even more needful in her life. So what is that one thing that is needful? In verse 39, we see that Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. The question to consider is, what is this one thing needful? Is it submissively listening to the Lord? That's what Mary did. Is it submissively listening to the Lord? You know, there are different types of welcomes. There's formal welcomes for VIPs. There are polite welcomes for just people that you're acquainted with. And then there's welcomes that are very warm for those that are loved ones and good friends. Martha received him in a very polite and practical way. Mary received him in a personal, spiritual way. Mary, it says in verse 39, sat at Jesus' feet. To sit somewhere, to sit at the feet of Jesus, meant that she had to sit very close to Him. I had the privilege of filling in for my wife in Sunday school this morning, and as I was teaching the Sunday school lesson, there was Braden and Hallie, and they were sitting very close to me because they wanted to listen to what I had to say from the Word of God. And that was encouragement to me. They wanted to listen. So it is with us. The more you want to listen to someone, what they have to say, usually the closer you're going to get to that person. Especially if you think that what they say is important and you value what they have to say. When Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, it was a place of love. Mary loved Jesus. Mary had a desire to listen to what He had to say. It was a place of love. Love brought her to the feet of Jesus. Not just her love for Him, but Jesus' love for her. This is one of the reasons why we ought to go to the Word of God and study and meditate and read and pray and to spend time with the Lord. Not just because of our love for Him, but because of His great love for us. After all, we could never have loved Him if He had not first loved us. But because of that great love that He has for us, we ought to come before His feet and worship and desire to please and love Him in return. It was a place of love. Love brought her to the feet of Jesus at another time as well. In John 11:2, it says that it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Mary would constantly come before the Lord and get as close as humanly possible and in as submissive a form as possible, kneeling before Him, even putting her hair upon His feet because it was a place of love and tenderness. It was also a place of submission. She submitted to His authority, realizing that she was His servant. If Jesus would have said to Mary while she was listening to His word, "I want you to go and help Martha," Mary would have gotten up and immediately helped Martha. Why? Because she listened and was going to heed every word that Jesus spoke. It was also submissive to His teaching. Mary was His student. She wanted to listen and learn what Jesus would have to say. And we need to realize, as we come to think about what that one thing that is needful, this is it. We need to come to a place of love at the feet of Jesus. We need to come to the place of a place of submission at the feet of Jesus, where we realize when we open up His Word and when we fellowship with Him in prayer that this is the most important thing in my life, because without it, any service that I do will be empty, and will be powerless because the foundation, the seed, hasn't been planted. The foundation hasn't been built. The spring from which the well of water will spring up has not been established. This is where we need to start. We need to realize that when we come to His Word, we are to be taught. We are not to come and bring our own desires and our own thoughts to the Word and say, okay, well, what can I get out of this? But rather, Lord, what can You teach me through this? So often, you've done this before, we go to passages and we pick things out. We don't really think about what they say or what they mean, but we apply it in our own life for our own reasons and for a certain way. In other words, we want to impose our philosophy, our interpretation, our opinion, our desire upon the Word of God instead of being submissive to this book. And say, Lord, teach me. Teach me. I have an open heart and an open mind, and I'm going to let Your Word speak to me and through me because this is the most important thing. This is the one thing that is needful in my life. It was also a place of listening. She heard the Lord, it says in verse 39. She sat there at Jesus' feet. It was a place of love, a place of submission, but it was also a place of listening because she heard His Word. She was where she could hear. She was very close to Him. She could give the audience that He deserved, and she was interested in what she could hear to understand what is heard. We need to get back to a point in our life where we value the Word of Christ. Where no longer will we pick up a magazine or a newspaper or a devotional book before we pick up God's Word. We need a revival of a desire for God's holy Word. We need a desire to come before Him every single day, perhaps even earliest in the morning, and we sit down at the feet of Jesus with His book open to us, and we sit there because we desire to learn and we desire to grow in our knowledge and in our relationship with Him. This is what is needful. It was a place of listening, and it was also a place of learning. First and foremost, Mary realized that this Word was Jesus' message. It was His message to her about Himself. That is what we need. This submissive listening and learning to the Lord is the one thing that was needful. It was a place of love, submission, listening, and learning. And Jesus, in verse 42, said to Martha, "One thing is needful, Martha, and Mary hath chosen that good part." Mary chose that good thing, the thing that was needful, the thing that was most important. That thing that was needful is a close, personal relationship with the Lord. That is the most important thing in our life. When we come and think about how busy our lives have become, how challenging is it to think about these verses and these words of Christ? How challenging, how difficult is it for us to hear the words that Jesus said, "One thing is needful." It's not even just the kind of service that you bring the Lord, even though that is important. The most important thing is the walk that you have and the relationship that you have and the time that you spend with the Lord. We will never grow in our walk with Him. We will never grow as a church. We will never grow in our family's walk with Him as we see the people in our family learning about the Lord until we first come down to this one thing that is needful and not let anything distract us from it. It's easy to be distracted, isn't it? How many times have we opened our Bible only to be distracted from it because we had the television on and something on the news grabbed our attention away? Or there are mornings that I won't wake up as early as I ought to wake up, and I'll open up my Bible and here come my children down the stairs. And at that moment, pretty much any peace and tranquility that I did have to read the Bible and to listen to what God had to say to me is gone. Because now I'm constantly focusing on their needs and their desires. How often have we gone before the Lord in prayer and the telephone rings? And again, our mind is distracted from the things of this world. It is so easy to be distracted But we need to, while we're here this morning, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His Word, realize that beginning today and tomorrow and the rest of this week, there is one thing that is needful, and that is your walk and relationship with Him, sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's not just a place of welcoming and service. It's a place of love and submission and listening and learning. This is what we need. This is what we need. And without this, we will always maintain an apathy for God and His work and His church. Because if God's not working here, He will never work out here. This is the one thing that is needful in our life. It's marked by a true and continuous love and relationship for Him. It's an abiding in Christ. Without that one thing that is needful, our life and ministry will be powerless. We'll be powerless. Without this one thing in our life as a Christian, everything that we do will be empty. Is this the one thing in your life? Is it first in your priority? Is it first in time? Is it first in your effort? You know, there's a principle throughout the Old Testament when people would give to the Lord in the temple, they would give of their first fruits. They would give of their best to the Master. They would give the very top, the very pinnacle, the very best in quality, quantity, and in time. This is what they gave, and so often we relegate what we give to the Lord or what we have with the Lord to the very end, the least. Jesus says, there's one thing that's needful. Martha did a lot of service, she did a lot of work, but Mary chose the good part, the thing that was needful. Martha saw Mary experiencing that one thing that was needful, but she still did not understand. She wondered if that one thing that was needful was still serving Him. Because in verse 40, Martha was still cumbered about with much serving. She saw that Mary was listening there at Jesus' feet. But Martha came and was offended and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Martha thought that her service was the most important thing to the Lord. In reality, she was distracted from the most important thing, and that was spending time with the Lord and learning about the Lord. How can you serve the Lord if you don't know what He expects and what He desires? Martha thought that she was caring for her Lord's needs, but in reality, she was focused on her own interests. She was wanting to make sure everything was just right for her guest, because how he was received as her guest reflected on her, didn't. We've all experienced this. When we have guests over and the house is a mess, someone knocks on the door, rings on the doorbell. Oh, I wasn't expecting them. Give me just a minute to pick up. Why do we do that? Is it just to make them feel comfortable? A lot of times I feel more comfortable when I go to a house that is a little messed up. Why? Because I realize that it's a house that was meant for living in. I don't like to sit on chairs that are covered up with plastic. You've seen those? Covered up with plastic and everything is just put in its place. I'm afraid that if I go into this museum, I might knock something over. I'm more comfortable when I can relax and when people are relaxed with me. When we go out and do these things, a lot of times it's because we don't want people to think about how we live. We're more concerned about our own interests rather than in what the Lord has for us as an opportunity here. Doesn't mean we can't clean our houses. But it does mean that what comes first? Our relationship with the Lord or our cleaning the house? One thing is needful, the Lord is saying, and Mary chose that great part. Martha thought that she was putting things in order, but in reality, it says here, Jesus said, you were troubled about many things. She thought she was putting things in order, but in her heart, it was troubled about many things. She was worried. That word for trouble comes from turbazo, which means turbulent. Her mind, her attitude, her actions were turbulent, even though she felt like she was putting things in order. But in reality, Mary was having things put in order in her life. We will never be able to have things in order in our life until we come and sit at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, teach me what needs to change. Teach me about those areas in my life that I'm struggling with. Martha thought that the many things needed to be done was more important. But in reality, the only one thing was needful was what Mary was doing. That energetic serving of the Lord was not the thing that was needful. Service is not that one thing. It distracts us often from that one thing, but it's not that one thing. What is the one thing that is needful in our life? It is sitting at the feet of Jesus. This morning, my challenge to you and to me this morning is to think about the distractions that we face that take us away from the one thing that Jesus said is needful. The one thing that is needful that we find throughout the Bible. The one thing that we read about this morning where the psalmist says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." To spend time in a relationship with Him. That is the one thing that is needful in your life. Everything else will distract from it. Make sure that that is first in your priority, first in your time, first in your effort. Because when Jesus said that that one thing is needful, He didn't leave it there. He commended Mary in verse 42, if you look there. He says, "Mary hath chosen that good part." It was good. When you choose this morning to, from here on out, keeping that one thing that is needful ever as the focus of your heart and life, you choose a good thing. You choose the best thing. When you choose this, it will be priceless. It will be absolutely priceless. It's good in quality. It is the best thing that you can do with your life and your time. Have you seen those commercials for MasterCard? And it shows all the money that people are spending with their MasterCard. Hopefully we'll eventually spend it back. And it says, if you're going on a fishing trip, you buy the boat for, you know, $2,000. You buy the equipment for $200. And then when you're actually out there on the boat and you're fishing, it says what? Priceless. Think about what the Lord is saying. There's one thing that is needful. And when you choose that one thing, it is the good part. It is the priceless part. All these other things will distract you from the things that are most important, and that is your walk with Him. But also when you choose it, it will be permanent. Look at verse 42. Jesus said, "Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." You go out fishing and you bought your boat and all those supplies with your MasterCard, you know what's going to happen to that boat in a few years? It's going to rust out, maybe even sink down to the bottom. All those supplies are going to get snagged on rocks and you're going to have to buy more. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. I remember when I was growing up, my brother and my friend, we had a goal, and that was to build a fort on an island in the Susquehanna River. And we went out and we spent all summer getting plywood and getting pieces of 2x4s, and we were building a massive fort on this island. We spent some money to build this fort on supplies. We got to enjoy it for maybe a month or two. And then the thing about the Susquehanna River is every single winter it floods. When we went back over to the island that spring, all our work was gone. It was swept away. Not a single board could be found. It was gone. Think about some of the things that distract you from this most important thing. Think about the things that you are focusing on in your life today. Where is it going to be in 10 years? 20 years? In eternity? Where is it going to be? The Lord says, if you sit at my feet and choose that one thing that is needful, you know what's going to happen? You're going to choose not only the best part, the one that is priceless, but also the part that will never be taken away from you. The most important thing that will last forever is your walk and relationship with God. Don't lose that. Don't lose that. Is your life as a Christian focused on the one thing that is needful? Perhaps you have been enthusiastic about things, but without having that foundation, that enthusiasm will wane and eventually go away. Perhaps you are serving, but are you serving with your soul, like we looked at last week? Are you listening? If you're listening, this is what The most important thing is, and not only listen, but to learn and then to live what the Lord teaches you. Without that relationship, anything that you do or you think you do for the Lord is going to be powerless and temporary. That's why Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Let's bow together.